And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The newly discovered sling stone in Israel that tells the story of war, bloodshed and death some 2,000 years ago provides more evidence of the Hanukkah story. Hanukkah, an 8-day Jewish celebration, honours the rededication during the 2nd century BC of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, where Jews rose up against their Greek-Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean Revolt. The stone features the name Diodotus Tryphon, an ancient Greek king who reigned over the Seleucid Empire between 142 and 138 BC. Tryphon is said to have executed Jonathan, one of Matthias' sons, who was Judah Maccabee's successor as leader of the Maccabees and high priest of Judea. Hanukkah commemorates the Maccabean or Hasmonean victories over the forces of the Seleucid king Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, who reigned from 175 to 164 BC, and the rededication of the temple. The revolt was led by Matthias Maccabee and his son Judas, who were the first Jews who fought to defend their religious beliefs rather than their lives. The Maccabean Revolt led to the capture of Jerusalem, the re-establishment of Jewish worship in the temple, and the Hasmonean dynasty that ruled Judea until 67 BC. The small stone, found at an archaeological site in the South Hebron Hills, is about 3 centimetres in length and also features symbols representing the ancient Greek god Zeus, the Jerusalem Post reports. After restoring Jewish worship at the Second Holy Temple in Jerusalem, Jonathan was appointed leader and high priest, and he later took on the role as Maccabee's army commander. In 143 BC, Tryphon invaded Judea and convinced Jonathan to dismiss his army of 40,000 troops by promising to return Ptolemais, an ancient port city in the Palestine region, and other fortress back to the Jews. Jonathan agreed to the terms, but when he and 1,000 men arrived in Ptolemais, Tryphon's army was waiting. All of Jonathan's men were massacred, and he was imprisoned. He was later executed by Tryphon. More evidence of the Hanukkah story was announced last week after archaeologists discovered charred remains of a 2,100-year-old Greek fortress that was burned to the ground during the Hasmoneans and Seleucids battle. Hasmonean was a dynasty of Jewish kings who fought to liberate Judah from the Seleucid rule, which was a Greek dynasty reigning over a large portion of the Middle East. The ancient battle began when the Hasmoneans spotted Seleucid soldiers stationed in the fortress that sat on a hill overlooking the Hellenistic city of Maritia. No fighting was done inside the structure, but the Jewish rebels knocked down the roof that led to the walls collapsing, and then they set their enemy fortress ablaze. Brussels has been forced to withdraw immature guidelines instructing EU officials to update their language by not referring to Christmas and asking "What's your pronoun?" to ensure that everyone is valued and recognised. The new guidelines for inclusive communication were intended to provide practical advice for those in the European Commission who speak about EU policies in public. However, the guide, running to 32 pages, was scrapped after an internal rebellion by civil servants. Helena Daly, the European Commissioner for Equality, said the guidelines, which were issued about 4 weeks ago, clearly need more work. Concern was raised with regards to some examples provided, she said in a statement. It is not a mature document. Christmas and the term Christian name were to be the casualties of the guidelines on the basis that they could give the impression of intolerance or judgment, fuel stereotypes, or single out one religious group. Not everyone celebrates the Christian holidays, and not all Christians celebrate them on the same dates. Be sensitive, the guidelines stated, advising officials to refer to holiday times. The most detailed example in the guide dealt with awkwardness over the gender binary of male and female and instructed that the pronouns Mr., Mrs. and Ms. should be dropped unless they were specifically requested. In the absence of such information, MX should be used as the default, the guideline stated. The advice said that the official should avoid gender-specific pronouns for people whose gender is unknown, so as not to exclude intersex persons and genderqueer people and not to make them invisible. Do not ask what pronoun a person prefers. This assumes that gender identity is a personal preference. It is not, the guide warned. Ask how they describe themselves. What are your pronouns? Commission officials were told to use the designation LGBTIQ rather than gay or lesbian, and never to use the term homosexual. Be careful about the use of gay and lesbian as nouns, which may be considered inappropriate, the now withdrawn advice said. It added, the term homosexual can be considered offensive because it follows the medical model and it's sometimes used by anti-gay activists. A 5,000-strong mob has burned multiple police stations in Pakistan while demanding officers hand over a man accused of torching a copy of the Quran. The crowd gathered outside the police station in the town of Charsada in northern Pakistan late Sunday after learning police were holding a man accused of blasphemy. Thugs demanded police hand the man over so we can burn him alive the way he burned the Quran, before setting light to the station and surrounding checkpoints. Around 30 cars were also torched in a night of anarchy that continued into Monday morning when around 2,000 people remained at the scene. The mob stormed the station asking to hand the man over to them so they could burn him alive like he burnt the Holy Quran, District Police Chief Asif Bahara said. The identity and religion of the accused has not been disclosed by police, Bahada said, but described him as mentally impaired. The motive behind burning the copy of the Holy Quran is still unknown, but we are investigating. No officers were hurt in the attacks, which forced the police to summon troops to restore order, local officer Asif Khan said. Khan said officers followed an attempt by the mob to lynch the detainee, and the police moved him to another district. He did not disclose the name of the man, saying officers were still investigating and the suspect would have been arrested a day ago. Khan said officers initially resisted but fled after thousands of demonstrators attacked the police buildings. He said police avoided the use of force to prevent casualties among the demonstrators. The situation in Charsada was normal Monday, he said, and law enforcement was seeking to arrest people linked to the attacks. Blasphemy carries the death penalty in Pakistan, where mere allegations of the offence are often enough to provoke mob violence. International and domestic rights groups say accusations of blasphemy have often been made maliciously to intimidate religious minorities and settle personal scores. A Christian couple was lynched, then burnt in a kiln in Punjab in 2014 after being falsely accused of desecrating the Quran. A former Punjab governor, Salman Taseer, was gunned down by his bodyguard, Mumtaz Qadri, in Islamabad in 2011 over his call for blasphemy law reform. Asia Bibi, a Pakistani Christian woman and a labourer from central Punjab province, was convicted of blasphemy in 2010 and was on death row until her acquittal in 2018, which prompted days of violent Islamist demonstrations. She and her family later fled the country for Canada. Fire-ravaged Notre Dame Cathedral is being turned into a woke theme park, with renovators adding a discovery trail and Christianity for Dummies exhibits, critics have claimed. Under new plans, confessional boxes, altars and classical sculptures will be scrapped for trendy art murals with sound and lighting effects, creating emotional spaces. A discovery trail will lead visitors through various chapels with an emphasis on Africa and Asia, and scripture will be beamed onto the walls in various languages, including Mandarin. One of the sanctuaries will even be dedicated to the environment. Maurice Coulot, an award-winning Paris-based architect, told The Telegraph, "It's as if Disney were entering Notre Dame. What they are proposing to do to Notre Dame would never be done to Westminster Abbey or St. Peter's in Rome. It's a kind of theme park and very childish and trivial given the grandeur of the place." Officials say that the symbol of France will be accessible to tourists with no understanding, whether from China or Sweden. But critics argue it debases the 850-year-old church and turns it into a politically correct Disneyland. One senior source close to the renovation told the Daily Telegraph the plans risk turning Notre Dame into an experimental showroom that would mutilate the cathedral. Can you imagine the administration of the Holy See allowing something like this in the Sistine Chapel, said the senior source with access to the latest plans? It would be unimaginable. We are not an empty space here. This is political correctness gone mad. They want to turn Notre Dame into an experimental liturgical showroom that exists nowhere else, whereas it should be as a landmark where the slightest change must be handled with great care. Notre Dame was almost completely destroyed by an inferno on April the 15th, 2019, when images of its toppling spire were seared onto the minds of people around the world. The roof and the spire are being restored to their former condition, but the new plans make drastic changes to areas of the cathedral that were largely unscathed. The outpouring of grief after the fire saw more than £700 million donated to the renovation efforts. President Emmanuel Macron has set a goal of allowing visitors back inside in 2024, the year Paris hosts the Olympics. The proposal, seen by two French news outlets and The Telegraph, show a discovery trail which will take visitors through 14 themed chapels. These will depict Genesis, Abraham, Exodus and the prophets, but also the five continents. Africa and Asia are given prominence, while Europe and the Americas are tucked behind the apse or totally absent. The tour ends at a chapel dedicated to reconcile creation, referring to Pope Francis's Laudato Si encyclical, which lamented environmental degradation and global warming. Setting out the plans, Father Giles Druin said he wanted to teach visitors the basics of Christianity without turning it into a heavy catechism. Christian Rousselot, the Director General of the Notre Dame Foundation, who is in charge of most of the donations, also told The Telegraph the aim was to portray the major moments of the Bible, to explain in the most intelligible to common mortals, whether Chinese or Swedish, what it all means. But the senior source warned that spending on the interior risks using funds which were still desperately needed to restore Notre Dame's flying buttresses and sacristy, which still needed works even before the fire. A medieval church in Norway with an exceptional collection of 300-year-old mummified cadavers has been desecrated by a drunken burglar. A man in his 40s has admitted damaging priceless artifacts dating as far back as the 13th century, including the font and altarpiece, before breaking into the crypt. The Fier Church in Grimstad, a town near Kristiansand on the country's southern coast, is best known for its 26 natural mummies from the 17th century, whose remains were preserved by the dry air. These include the giant, believed to be the body of Peter Hendrickson Mansfelt, the church's bailiff, who died in 1684. They are completely unique, Rolf Christian Ornholt, a local historian, told the Norwegian public broadcaster NRK. This is unparalleled historical material. The culprit, who lives in the town but has not been named, is believed to have forced entry to the church on last Thursday night, possibly through a window on the second floor. The stone font was tipped over and smashed into three pieces. He set fire to a pair of hymn books, damaged a pulpit, and broke parts of the paraphernalia around the altar. He is then said to have opened a hatch leading down to the crypt, where the mummies are kept in their coffins. What he did to the bodies is unclear. His defense lawyer said he wanted to remove something from the burial chamber. The man has been charged with burglary and grievous bodily harm and may also be prosecuted for desecrating human remains, according to the police. The crypt has been vandalised and disturbed. It's awful, Helga Spilling, the parish priest, told NRK. This is Grimstad's oldest building. It means a lot to people. Parts of the stone church were built in 1150 and the altar is thought to be even older. And finally, Pastor Jamie was in full pulpit-thumping flow one Sunday, preaching about death and damnation. "There will be weeping," he thundered, "and wailing and gnashing of teeth." An elderly lady on the front row stuck up her hand and objected that she didn't actually have any teeth. Pastor Jamie fixed her with a withering gaze. "Madam," he said slowly, "teeth will be provided."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.